Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Barbecue Nation, and thank you for listening today. I'm JT, along with my second-in-command, producer Dave, high atop the radio world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in downtown Portland. And we welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network and our affiliates in Texas and so on and so on. And the number is going to grow exponentially very soon. And I'll be telling you more about that in the weeks to come. Well, he's back, our good friend from Chicago, Meathead, from AmazingRibs.com. And today, he's going to tell us how you can give Colonel Sanders a run for his money and fried chicken, among other things, on your barbecue. And we got a little music from Hank Jr., because we're probably going to end up talking about a little tailgating, football, and that stuff also in this show. And before we talk to Meathead, I want to remind you that this portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest, beef you can feel good about. And I do, a lot. Anyway, Meathead, welcome back, bud.
Oh, JT, always good talking to you. It's so much fun to talk to somebody who knows a lot about food, and especially barbecue.
It's great. I love this job. I do love this job. So in our email exchanges and in our conversation beforehand, you were talking about deep frying on your barbecue. And to some people, that's probably going to seem like a little bit of an oxymoron, I guess, but I've seen it. I've actually tried it a couple times, but I really want to get your thoughts on it.
Well, I mean, everybody loves fried chicken, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody out there, raise your hands, you love fried chicken. Yeah, everybody's hands just went up. Now, if you cook fried chicken at home, raise your hands. Oh, all the hands came down. Well, it's just people don't do frying at home very often. It just makes a mess. It spatters everywhere. It smokes up the house, sets off the smoke alarm. You've got all this dripping chicken, and you got to drain it somewhere, or French fries. You can do it with a special machine, but that's, you know, what Alton Brown calls a monotasker.
Yeah.
You got this deep frying machine, and it's as big as a bread box, and where do you stick it? And there's no room on the kitchen counter for that sort of thing. So what we do is we move it outdoors where there is no smoke alarm. Take a cast iron Dutch oven and set it on top of your gas grill or your charcoal grill. It's a little easier on a gas grill. And you turn the burners on underneath and you pour in about an inch or an inch and a half of oil and you get it up to about 375. Your ideal frying temp is around 350, so you start a little higher because when you add the chicken, the temperature drops.
Right.
So you start around 375, and you can use your plain old digital thermometer. You don't want to touch metal, and be careful. A lot of these frying thermometers clip to the side, and they're right up against the hot side. So you want to check the temperature in the center. So a handheld digital thermometer is just fine for this job. And you fry up your chicken. There's really two ways to go in coating your chicken. You can coat it with a dredge, which is just flour, or you can go flour to egg and back into flour, which is a really great way to go,
mm-hmm.
or flour to egg to breadcrumbs or panko or cornflakes, whatever you want. And you drop it in there. Don't crowd the pot. Let it, otherwise temperature drops too low. And when the color is perfect, you take it off and you check the temp. And if it's 160 or above, you're good to go. If it's not quite there, you just put it on the other side of the grill where it'll drip dry. You don't need any special drainage racks.
Sure.
It'll just drip dry. A little oil will get on those, you know, grates down below the heat diffusers.
Right.
But the next time you crank up the grill, it'll burn right off. It'll come up, when you close the lid, it'll come right up to temp. So you can do your chicken outdoors, get it safe, no fuss, no muss, no smoke, no smoke alarms, and it's really good. And you can do you can whoop up a batter if you want. And we've got recipes for the batter and for the dredge, and the whole technique that we're talking about here on my website on AmazingRibs.com. Even got a recipe for Nashville hot chicken up there. And you can make a batter and do great onion rings and pickles and vegetables. It's just a lot of fun, and it's also something you can do at a tailgater, at a party.
Yep.
Take it to the game. You can't do ribs and pulled pork. They take hours.
Yeah.
This is a lot of fun, and everybody loves fried chicken.
Yeah, they do. And I want to, well, first of all, talking about that, it reminds me of the Ron White joke, and he's always said when his wife cooked, she used the smoke alarm as a timer. and so I've always kind of kept that one in reserve. The other thing I've done is, and I just want to ask you this. This is something I certainly didn't create this, but I know people like buffalo wings, and now there's various flavors of buffalo wings. You can get sea salt and vinegar and all this kind of stuff depending on where you're going. So what I did was I would take my wings and fry them, but I would not put anything on them, no batter, no anything. And I would just fry them in there, get them to temp, pull them out of there, let them drain just a little bit. And then right next to it, I would have a one of the old stainless steel mixing bowls. And in the bottom, I would have my version of hot sauce or one of the things I created was some melted butter and ranch dressing seasoning, and I would just kind of, not too much of the butter, but it was just enough to keep everything liquid, and you could slosh it around in there and get the wings nice and coated. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, you don't really need to batter or dredge wings because they are pre-coated. They're layered with skin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're talking about a thigh or a breast, there's very little skin on them, but wings are covered with skin, so you can get them good and crispy that way. And I don't hang out in a lot of fast food restaurants, but I went to, oh dear, I can't remember the name. Well, there's no sense in plugging them. It was one of the wing joints,
yeah.
That's exactly what they do. But they just fry up the wings, and they have a whole bunch of sauces. And you order the Asian, and they dump it in a bowl, put on the Asian sauce, flip it around, and away you go.
Yep.
On AmazingRibs.com, I've come up with what's pretty close to an original buffalo wing sauce, which is butter, and they use Frank's hot sauce, which
yeah.
is not really very hot. It's a fairly mild hot sauce, but it's got a really great peppery flavor. We've got a really great sweet and sour sauce recipe you can use for wings. You can just go nuts with it. You can go Thousand Island or whatever you want.
Sure.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. And remember, Frank's, they put that stuff on everything. I remember the old lady on the TV commercials where they would say her and she'd say, and you know, they'd bleep out what she was actually saying or supposed to be saying, but she'd go, Frank's, I put that beep on everything. And I've always loved that. It's always good. Now let's go over it one more time because we've got about a minute before we go to break. So tell them again the mechanics of putting the sauce in a, do you want it in a, like a, what am I trying to say here? I've lost my brain.
I don't know,
but
you're eating up my minute.
Okay, go ahead.
You want to talk about the saucing or the frying?
The frying. You put it in a small Dutch oven or cast iron?
Cast iron. Well, first of all, it's all written up on AmazingRibs.com in boring detail. Cast iron pot. I use a high-sided pot like a Dutch oven, so if it does spatter, it captures the spatters. And cast iron is really heavy and thick. It retains the heat, so it helps keep the oil hot. About an inch, inch and a half. Now, that's shallow frying. The meat often pokes out, but you want chicken to be in contact with the bottom of the pot where the conduction heat from the middle will help cook it faster. Things like onion rings, you want them floating around or deep frying. So you've got deep frying versus shallow frying. about an inch and a half for wings, 2 inches or so for batter-fried onion rings and stuff, and get it up to 375. Your sweet spot's around 350. And then when it's perfect color, you put it on the other side of the grill where the burners are off, and just close the lid, and it'll continue to cook.
Yep, there you go. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with our buddy Meathead from AmazingRibs.com right here on the Barbecue Nation. Thanks for being with us.
Country music singers have always been a real close family. But lately, some of my kinfolk have disowned a few others than me. Well, my mama met my daddy down in Alabama.
Hey, welcome back to the Nation, Barbecue Nation, here on the Radio Northwest Network and other amazing radio stations across the country. And speaking of amazing, we've got Meathead with us from AmazingRibs.com. If you want to send us an email, it's BBQNation at Alpha Media USA. You can also send it recipes if you want to share one with us at recipes at Alpha Media USA. Facebook, of course, is Barbecue Nation with JT and a couple of our outstanding affiliates, KFLS in Klamath Falls and KSEY in Seymour, Texas. Whew, got all that in. Okay, Meathead, you were talking about Nashville hot wings?
Oh, yeah. Well, not hot wings now, Dan. The hot wings is sort of a Buffalo thing,
okay.
Although everybody does it now. Nashville, the story is Prince's Fried Chicken, the old man who ran it, Prince, he was fooling around on his regular girlfriend, and she got wind of it, and he came home late one night. And she let him have it. And for breakfast that morning, breakfast, mind you, she cooked up a mess of fried chicken and poured hot sauce all over it. And he loved it. And so they started serving it in the restaurant. And it caught on. And there's a bunch of restaurants in Nashville that are doing it. And even KFC is doing it. Now, it's not hot sauce. What they were doing is they were taking a little scoop of the fry oil, and they were mixing it with a hot pepper. Maybe it was Tabasco. Nobody knows for sure. It's sort of a secret. But you make a hot oil, and you either dunk the chicken in it or you paint the chicken with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really taken off. I mean, it's been around for maybe 10, 15 years. But in the last 5 years, you'll see it in a lot of restaurants. And like I say, even KFC is selling it now. And it's pretty easy to do. You just get yourself a batch of hot pepper flakes, and you pour them in with some oil in a saucepan, and simmer them for a little bit until the oil turns bright red. Strain the peppers off, and there you go. You just paint the meat with the hot pepper oil. Now, I've got a recipe for it at my site, and of course, I got a monkey with it. There's a couple of flavorings in there. I've got some garlic in there, some sugar in there, some other mustard, I think, is in there. And it really has a nice flavor to it, but it's got a kick. You got to like hot stuff to like it. But it seems to work really well with the crunchiness of the chicken.
Yeah, I bet it does. Kind of reminds me of that country song I've been working on for about 30 years. Two fried eggs and a broken heart for breakfast. There you go. It's going to be a hit if I ever finish it. I can tell you that. It really is.
You are one funny man. You crack me up.
Well,
I'll give you another one. Let me give you one more.
Yeah, fire away.
You mentioned salt and vinegar earlier, and everybody loves salt and vinegar potato chips.
Right.
Take your chicken and soak it in just distilled vinegar, 50-50 vinegar and water, for about 15-20 minutes is all. And it picks up a really, really crispy, vinegary character. Then you bread it and fry it. And sprinkle your large grain salt on the outside, and there you got it. You, It's really a variation on brining in pickle juice. That's become all the rage now.
Yep.
Restaurants are saving their pickle juice, and they're brining the chicken in the pickle juice. But you can get the same effect just by using white vinegar, a little water, and it only takes about 15, 20 minutes.
You know, you've just talked about one of my little secrets, and I think we've talked about this before off the air. But when I'm modifying a barbecue sauce, I'll just put it that way. When I'm modifying a barbecue sauce, one of the things that I do is I'll pour a little bit of the juice out of the peppercini, the Mazzetti's. I like Mazzetti's, you know, like that. So I put a little of that juice in my barbecue sauce along with some other things, and it's got a bit of a little tang to it, but it's not, not overbearing. So it works pretty good.
Well, I've seen bartenders using pickle juice a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's something to think about. You finish that jar of pickles, don't dump the juice.
Right, exactly. We've got tailgating season. We're going to start this, and we'll finish tailgating in the next segment. But we've got tailgating. Football season technically has already started, I guess, with preseason games and all that jazz. But, you know, as we were talking before we came on the show today, it's tough to haul a bunch of stuff that's not already pre-cooked. I mean, and you said it in the last segment, you're not going to do ribs at a tailgate, you know, at the university or wherever you're doing it. If you're at home, it's a different deal. But because it's just too much work and takes too much time.
Yeah.
But, you know, and of course, if it's done beforehand, that's easy peasy. But easy things to do. And here's a little caveat, and I'm sure you know this. A lot of... Like, if you go to see a college football game, they won't let anything but gas grills on their campus because charcoal takes too long to cool off and get out. Pellets are kind of the same way, and you need electricity for them. And so they're kind of most, not all, really prefer that you cook with a gas grill.
And every stadium seems to have its own set of rules.
Right.
And I've got a whole article on tailgating on AmazingRibs.com, and that's like number one. Find out what the rules are for the stadium you're going to. Some stadia have no problem. In fact, I was just talking to somebody. Oh, Memphis. Memphis has just built a whole new tailgating area with power.
Oh, there you go.
So you can bring your pellets and stuff. You can bring your...
Yeah.
Your radios and big screen TVs and stuff. But I know at Notre Dame, for example, only gas, like you said. So everybody's different. Check the rules.
Yeah. We're not doing it this year, but for a number of years we did this thing here called the Quack Shack, and it was sponsored by the radio station, and I would go down and cook for, you know, VIP guests and what have you. And it was a lot of fun, met a lot of great people. But we could only use gas grills there because they didn't, you know, because once the game starts, everybody leaves the tailgating area. And, you know, if you got charcoal or something, it's still cooking. So anyway.
Well, there's that, you've seen that commercial where I forget the company, but he puts the charcoal grill in the car.
Yep.
The car catches on fire. I've seen people take a hibachi or a charcoal grill and slide it under their car just to keep people from tripping on it or stealing it. And, of course, it's sitting there under the gas tank.
Yep.
Jesus.
Yep, they're brilliant. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Meathead. We're going to talk more about tailgating and then our favorite subject, wieners, right after this.
Well, my mama met my daddy down in Alabama.
Everybody, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Dr. Dave, and this portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest comes a beef product you can feel good about and be proud to serve your family and friends. Also, my friends down at Barclays in Woodburn, a little town where I live, they have their sidewalk sales on the weekends. Well, Saturdays, they're not open on Sundays. So check out Barclays Buy Sell Pawn down there. Ask for Mark. He's a great guy. It's a fun store. There's over 10,000 individual items in that store. Some of them I bet you've never seen before. There you go. I'm talking with Meathead here, and I can't tell you about the stuff we were talking off the air.
I can't believe you just told everybody where you live. Now you're going to have PETA down there marching around your house.
Oh, probably. I've had that before, though. Back when I used back when I used to do the rodeo and horse show stuff. Oh, God.
Yeah,
I was always getting into it with them, so they don't. That doesn't bother me. Well, now we have a cat, and it lives in the house. She lives better than I do, so, you know. They can come and do a cat inspection, I guess. We were talking about tailgating, and we, of course, you know, and I think you made a very astute point. Know the rules. Look what the stadium or the football facility will allow as far as grills and that. But what's your favorite thing, or what do you think is the number one thing that people like to cook out there besides burgers and dogs?
Well, that's it. Burgers and dogs and the sausages are, I think, are, you know, the standard fare. You could do steaks. Things like ribs, which take 4 or 5 hours, you could start them at home and then throw them in a beer cooler, but it'll stay hot in the beer cooler.
Right.
And bring them down and finish them on the grill. But that's just, one of my favorite things to do is hot dogs are different across America. It's really interesting. Now, this is not like hamburgers.
Right.
Hamburgers, every restaurant has its own signature style, but hot dogs are still regional. Every town has a butcher or three who make their own sausages and hot dogs. Here in Chicago, it's Vienna Beef. In New York, it's Sabret, which I think is actually made in New Jersey. And they're all over the country, and they're prepared and served differently. In New York, they're usually served with mustard and sauerkraut, and there's a kind of onion glop that's put on there.
Right.
And by the way, I've got a recipe for that onion glop on the website if you love New York hot dogs, as I do. And I love Sabrets. They're a great dog. In Chicago here, there's 7 ingredients on a hot dog. And there are more hot dog joints in Chicago than there are hamburger joints, including the big franchises. And they all serve the hot dog the same way. Mustard, pickle relish. There's a pickle spear on there.
Yep.
There's hot sport peppers. There's chopped onion. Celery salt, and am I missing one? On a poppy seed bun, I think I'm missing one.
Did you put kraut on there?
No, okay. It's not allowed.
Okay.
And absolutely, positively no ketchup. And I have an article about hot dogs on the website where I talk about all the regional hot dogs. I mean, because there's a Sonoran style in Arizona. There's the Dodger dog in L.A. In Cincinnati, hot dogs are served with chili and a big pile of shredded cheddar cheese. And this is, you know, really regionally and culturally. In Detroit, they serve it with a chili sauce that's made mostly from beef heart.
Uh-huh.
So it's really fascinating as you travel around to try these regional hot dogs. And it's a fun thing to do for a party is you can just grill them up and put the buns out and then put out all these toppings, and people can make a Arizona Sonoran dog or a Cincinnati chili dog. In Detroit, they call them conies, like Coney Island.
Yep.
And have a little bit of a hot dog tasting, which is fun.
We have a small chain here in Portland. It's called Roke's, and because it's my show and I like them, I can say it. but they have a foot long coney, and it's a sauce that's got, you know, some ground up. I think it's probably beef in it, and it's also got some onions in it. It's served with a touch of mustard on it, their hot dogs are great flavor. They pop when you bite into them, and they've been around for a long time. And you're talking about regional. In all my travels, I've never seen one served exactly like that. Now, they may be some other part of the country that I've obviously missed, but It is. It's very true. And these guys have been around for a long time. They started out as just kind of a little hole-in-the-wall deal, and they've grown to, I don't know, two or three here in Portland. I don't know if they have anybody else. But they've got their own style, and it's great. It's absolutely.
Yeah, and a lot of restaurants have their own style for hamburgers and stuff. And you can go from one block to the next, and you get all these different hamburgers. But in New York, the New York hot dog is pretty uniform all across the city. In Chicago, it is absolutely uniform. By the way, the missing ingredient, the seventh ingredient, is tomato.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to have tomato, fresh tomato. They call it dragging it through the garden.
Ah, okay.
And it came about after the Depression. You get a hot dog with all these vegetables on it. And I wrote about this on the website, and there's a Dirty Harry scene where he is talking about the disgusting murders he's seen, but the one thing that really makes him want to puke is people who put ketchup on a hot dog.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of jokes about it, and I tell people, I say this is really funny stuff, and they get irate.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, it's the most controversial page out of the thousands on our website. They get, how dare you tell me don't put ketchup on a hot dog? I'm a grown man, and I'll put whatever the heck I want on my hot dog. Oh my goodness, people get upset.
I know. It's ketchup doesn't bother me, but once in a while I see somebody put mayonnaise on it, and that's where I draw the line. And I like mayonnaise.
I don't mind mayonnaise on a hamburger.
Yeah, right. But not on a hot dog or a sausage or anything like that. You know, I just can't do her. Not going to happen. Don't sit next to me if you're going to do that, because that's unethical.
Yeah, it just sounds gross.
There was always that great scene in I don't know, it was a Bruce Willis movie where somebody put mayonnaise on his hamburger, and he takes it and he scrapes it off on the edge of the table, and he goes, no, but nobody puts mayonnaise. Kind of like takeoff on Clint Eastwood's deal, because nobody puts mayonnaise on a hamburger.
Hey, I have been fiddling with my secret sauce for hamburgers.
Yep.
And I've got up, I call it Burger Glop. What a lovely name, Burger Glop. But it's mayonnaise, mustard, and barbecue sauce, red barbecue sauce,
yep.
With a few other good things in there. And if you love hamburgers, this is a really nice sauce. Go try it.
I will do that. What's your, we got a couple minutes here. So if I say right now, today, Meathead, as soon as you finish this show, you're going to go out and fire up your grill, and we're getting towards the end of summer. What are you going to put on it?
We're swimming in vegetables, dude.
Yep.
My wife is a serious gardener. As we're talking, she's in the kitchen with a cauldron making tomato sauce.
Mm.
We have these baseball bat-sized zucchinis out there. you got this beautiful little 6-inch zucchini, perfect tenderness and juiciness, and you say, I'm going to pick that tomorrow. And you go back out there, and it's the size of a baseball bat overnight.
Yep. Yep.
And here's what you do with your baseball bat zucchinis. You cut them in half lengthwise, and you scoop out the center where the seeds are, because the seeds are starting to get hard when they get that big, and there's kind of a soft, pulpy part in the center.
Right.
And you scoop it out. You've got a wall of about a half inch thick, really nice, juicy zucchini meat, and you've made a canoe. You take that canoe, and you can salt up the interior. Throw it on your grill face down and just cook it a little bit so it gets a little soft. Then you turn it over and you fill it. And you fill it with whatever the heck you want. Typically pizza-type stuff,
right.
Like ground meat, tomato sauce, mozzarella. You want to put pepperonis in there or sausage. Whatever you want. You just fill it up. And you can make pizzacchini. And this is how you get kids to eat their vegetables. You make a pizza out of the zucchini. And it's delicious. You put it back on the grill and just let it bake for for maybe 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Until it's floppy and tender. And now the big ones are hard to get off the grill when they're that big. So here's the trick. You use a pizza peel.
Anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and finish up the show with Meathead from AmazingRibs.com right after this. Thanks for being with us. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, Dr. Dave, and we've got Meathead the Great from...
talking about my waistline again,
there,
aren't you?
There you go. From AmazingRibs.com. He's got some great stuff. He's got 17,000 pages on that website or something, but if you can't find it there, it's not available. I will tell you that. Before we get back and talk with Meathead for a second, this just kind of came off the wire a couple days ago. The KCBS, the Kansas City Barbecue Society, today announced that it plans to host a World Championship Barbecue Competition. The inaugural event will be an invitational contest exclusively for KCBS members and is scheduled for February 8th and 9th, 2019 at the Arkansas State Fairgrounds in Little Rock. To qualify for the KCBS World Invitational Barbecue, team must have received a Grand Champion or Reserve Grand Champion Award at a KCBS-sanctioned contest within the previous calendar year or finished within the 100 and top, the first 125 in overall ranking at the end of the calendar year. Now, I'm not going to go through all this stuff, but that's pretty good, you know? They're moving forward there. You can find out more on the KCBS website. Anyway, back with Meathead here.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is. I was going to suggest, I was going to send Carolyn a note and say, you got to have Meathead and I down there to judge that thing for fun.
Of course, I don't judge much anymore. I have judged numerous, it's not as much fun. You're in a tent or a building, and you're tasting barbecue, and you can't talk to your neighbor because it's a blind tasting.
Right.
And, you get maybe six or seven ribs to taste, and then you're on to the pulled pork. You start to get pretty full after a while. I'd rather go down there and hang out with the teams. The problem with KCBS judgings is there's nothing for the spectator to do. If you come there to see or taste barbecue, you're going to be disappointed because they're all cooking in the competition, but they're not making enough for the passersby. I can get the taste because I know them all, but it's really not a spectator sport.
Well, by God, if they put a jug of single malt between us and we sat there, we could sort this thing out in a few minutes.
I can run everybody's business better than I can my own.
Yeah, I understand that. So, Labor Day, we've only got 3 minutes left here because we've been talking about so many other things, but we've got Labor Day, which is, for a lot of people, is kind of the end of barbecue season for the summer. It shouldn't be. They should be going all year long. There I'm lecturing, but that's just the way I feel. There's no reason not to be cooking on grills and smokers throughout the course of the year. But if you were going to say, this is my favorite thing that I do for Labor Day, and I know we talked about vegetables in the last segment, but what would you do, Meathead?
Well, we did talk about it. I don't want to be redundant, but all through August, it is vegetable season, and it's coming up on the tail end of tomato and corn season, and neither of them are any good in November, December, January. They just don't freeze well. They don't have great... I mean, my wife is canning tomatoes as we speak, and they're much better than store-bought canned tomatoes, but golly, fresh tomato, that is just, that's as good as anything gets, and warm from the garden, running down your chin, fresh peaches are in right now. I love grilling those. I just had a peach for lunch a little bit ago from Michigan. Michigan peaches are unbelievable. It's time to eat fresh fruit and vegetables. If I'm trying to show off, I'm going to cook a big, thick steak. I mean, it's easy for me once you know how to do it. But everybody just seems to do a backflip when they get a really good restaurant quality steak served to them. And I know how to do it. And I explain it in my book and on the website. There's some tricks, but you can cook as well as any premium steakhouse if you know what to do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And people will love you for it, and they will remember it. And here's one of my favorite meals. It's about a 10 to 12-ounce ribeye, couple inches thick. I have fresh sliced beefsteak tomatoes with a bit of balsamic and some Parmesan on them, and maybe some, you know, some beans of some sort like that, and corn on the cob. And I might not finish the steak, but I'm going to eat every bit of those vegetables.
Who needs anything more? I love that balsamic vinegar on fresh tomatoes with a little onion and fresh mozzarella. Absolutely. Yep. That's your basic caprese salad concept.
Yep.
People will argue that the caprese doesn't have onion on it. And you got to put basil on there, too. So,
oh, yeah. Yep.
But it's great.
Hey, we got to get out of here. As usual, Meathead and I have run out of time because we could keep talking until Sunday. But Meathead,
it is Sunday.
It is Sunday, yeah. AmazingRibs.com is the website. Check out everything there. He does a great job. Thanks, my friend, for being with us.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. I get hungry.
Okay. Couple of things coming up. We've got Stuart Sink and Davis Love III. We're not talking golf. We're going to be talking barbecue with those guys over the next few weeks. And remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. Check my stuff out at thecowboycook.com. And we will see you all next week right here on Barbecue Nation.